From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Evidence of radicalization mounts in the wake of last week's California mass shooting. A federal investigator says he believes both suspects in last week's mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, were radicalized for some time, and that there is evidence they pre-planned the attack. David Bowditch is an assistant director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
We believe they both were. That's the question for us is how and by whom and where were they radicalized? Maybe there's not a by whom. Remember, oftentimes it's on the Internet. We just don't know. I don't want to speculate.
He says there's no evidence yet. U.S.-born Saeed Rizwan Farooq and his Pakistani wife, Tashfeen Malik, were part of a broader overseas plot. The shooting at the gathering of local government workers last Wednesday killed 14, wounded 21. Meanwhile, the U.S. government says it will soon unveil a new domestic terror alert system. Jay Johnson is the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary.
Look, we need a system that adequately informs the public at large, not through news leaks of joint intelligence bulletins to law enforcement, not through leaks from anonymous government officials, but we need a system that informs the public at large what we are seeing, even if what we are seeing could be self-evident to the public.
Johnson said even if there is no specific credible intelligence of a plot, there can still be risk. He emphasized the possibility of a terror-inspired act by a person who might not be on law enforcement's radar. New UN Libya envoy Martin Kobler Monday said the UN brokered peace agreement is the only way toward peace in the North African country. He took part in a meeting in Tunis with representatives of Libya's rival administrations a day after they struck agreement on a joint declaration of principles. An October proposal for a unity government was rejected by the Islamist-backed General National Congress in Tripoli. This is VOA News. The U.S. Monday congratulated Venezuela's people for the country's peaceful and democratic legislative election held Sunday, in which the opposition scored a major victory in taking control of the National Assembly for the first time in 16 years. As for strained U.S.-Venezuelan relations, John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
I think it's too soon for us to say that there's going to be any major muscle movement changes here in the way we're kind of trying to engage with Venezuela moving forward. What the results reinforce for us is the importance of continuing to have a dialogue with Venezuela and to continue to try to get the relationship on a better path. So I won't and can't at this time predict any changes as a result of it, except to say that it just reinforces the need on our part for the relationship to continue to grow and deepen.
The opposition won 99 of 167 seats, with the ruling socialists winning just 46. The first government-to-government talks on property claims are scheduled to get underway Tuesday in Havana between the U.S. and Cuba. A focal point of those talks, the return of property belonging to U.S. businesses seized following the Cuban Revolution in 1959. An estimated value of at least $7 billion. UN envoy Ismail Ould Sheikh Ahmed says talks to end more than a year of violence in Yemen will begin December 15. He said the exiled government and Shia Houthi rebels have committed to take part in the peace negotiations in Switzerland. Ahmed said he was almost certain a temporary ceasefire will precede those talks. China's capital has issued its first-ever red alert for air pollution, as the government warns the heavy smog will blanket the city over the next 3 days. The Beijing government ordered half cars off the road with an odd-even number plate system put into effect. All outdoor construction has been halted while primary and middle schools were urged to close. Jonathan Fredrickson is a school teacher in the city.
For the first time ever, they've closed down all or most all of the schools in the city here, including Beijing Dafu. And what I've been told is that some students can come if they want to, or they can stay home if they want to. It's between them and their parents. But what I've seen inside is that there are no students in there and only a handful of teachers.
Cooler temperatures by Thursday are expected to reduce smog levels. Ethiopia says more than 10 million people, mostly children, need emergency food because of drought. The group Save the Children says dry conditions have been aggravated by the El Nino weather phenomenon, a warming of ocean surface temperatures. Paralympian Oscar Pistorius is due in court Tuesday to apply for bail following his conviction for murder and the death of his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. Last week, the South African Supreme Court overturned a lower court's culpable homicide conviction. Pistorius was released from jail after a year, placed under house arrest. The 29-year-old athlete now faces a minimum 15-year prison term. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.